الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وحده لا شريك له ولا نذير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر من الفطرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with many many ni'mats and many favors. There was one hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she explains that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there are 10 things which are from the sunnats of all the Anbiya alayhimu salam of the past. So in other words, these 10 things which is mentioned in this hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, if a person practices on these 10 things, he is practicing on the sunnat of every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam right until Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To practice on one sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so great. And this is, these 10 things are the sunnats of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala practiced on it. And inshallah, if we also make niyat and of making amal and practicing on it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us the reward of making amal of the sunnat of all the Anbiya alayhim salam, every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. All these 10 things are very simple, very easy, and all of them deal with a person's personal hygiene. It all deals with a person's personal hygiene. Very important hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala explains, Asharun min al-fitra, there are 10 things which was the practice of all the Anbiya alayhim salam. And she goes on to explaining the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person should do is qassu sharib. A person should remove his mustache. Wa i'afa'u lihya, and he should grow his beard. So these are the first two things that are mentioned in this hadith. A person removes his mustache and he grows his beard. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to emphasize this on the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that we shouldn't be keeping big bushy mustaches and removing our beards. On one occasion, there were two messengers that came from Persia, and they came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinah Sharif. And when they came to Madinah Munawwara, they came in a condition where both of them had very big mustaches, and their beards were completely clean shaven. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw them, he immediately turned his Mubarak face away from them, and he said that, "Who taught you all to do this, to keep big mustaches and to remove your beards?" So they replied, "Our Rabb, who is Kisra, the Persian emperor, he has taught us to do this." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "My Rabb, who is Allah, has taught me that I must remove the mustache and I must grow the beard." So every Muslim should try and have this niyat, inshallah, that he should try and keep his beard. This is a great sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhim salam. Every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala practice on it, and every one of us should try and make this niyat that inshallah we'll also grow our beard and keep our beard. The other day in a maktab, in a madrasa, we were busy teaching the children how to make wuzu. So all the children were busy doing the demonstration of wuzu, how the wuzu must be done. So the one youngster was there, he's a little child. So after washing the face 3 times, he made a khilal of the beard. Obviously, as a child, he got no beard. He's a small child, but he demonstrated the khilal of the beard, how the person, when he's washing his face, he'll take one handful of water and he'll put it through his beard, that is khilal of the beard, which is a sunnah of wuzu. So the other boys in the class started laughing because he got no beard and he's doing the khilal. So he stood up and he said, Maulana, I don't have a beard now, but inshallah, when I get big, I'll keep a beard, inshallah. This is a jazbah, mashallah. This is the right jazbah that he's keeping, that although he's young, but he's got this jazbah that inshallah, one day when I grow up, I will keep my beard. That's why it's so important for us also to send our children to maktab. To send our children to the maktab to learn deen. The important aspects of deen is taught to them in a madrasa. They sit there in a madrasa, they learn the important things of deen. Learn how to make wuzu, learn the important aspects of deen. So this young boy, mashallah, at this age also, he's got this jazbah that inshallah, when I get big, I'll keep a beard. One friend of mine's from Johannesburg, he was studying in a madrasa in Marlborough, where Maulana Yunus Daya Sahab, rahmatullah alayh. So Maulana was his ustad. So he studied in a maktab, and after he left the maktab, he went into high school. When he reached the highest matric, etc., sometimes whatever the youngsters, when they reach this age, they go a little bit off. They go a little bit off the path. In Urdu, they say, Jawani Diwani. Jawani Diwani. In Arabic, they say, Ashababu Shu'batu Min Al Junoon. That the person, when he reaches this age, and sometimes you see him keeping like a punk hairstyle with different colors. So he had no beard on his face, and he met his ustad. Ustad greeted him, he told him, Muhammad, what happened to your beard? So he said, I felt ashamed in front of my ustad. So he said, my ustad told me one thing at that time. He told me, Muhammad, remember one thing, that if you keep your beard, every minute of the day and the night, whether you're in the masjid or whether you're sleeping, whether you're in the toilet or whether you're at work, you're getting sawab and reward for it. Every minute the malaika are writing reward for you because you got this beard on your face. But remember, if you're taking it out also, you can be in a masjid also, you're getting guna for this also. Allah give us a tawfiq, inshallah, that we try and keep it. It's a very great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should have the niyat, inshallah, one day. One person was just saying, Marana, you know, I want to keep my beard. My wife, she don't like it. For some, she doesn't want me to keep it. So you carry on making your niyat. Keep your niyat right, ask Allah. One day Allah will soften her heart, inshallah, you keep the beard also. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hassan Madzub rahmatullah alayhi was a very great Buzurg, he was a Khalifa of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullah Ali was a judge during the time of the British. So this was still before the partition had taken place in India, when the British were still ruling in India. So many of the Muslim judges, they would dress up in suit boot, without beard, etc., and they would go to work. But Khaja Sahib rahmatullah Ali, right till the end, he kept his kurta, his turban on his head and his full beard. When the Viceroy of England came to India, and all the judges were in front, he stood up from his seat and he walked up to Khaja Sahib and he greeted him. So all the other Muslim judges were there, they asked him, you left all of us, you greeted him. He said, this is a man of God, I can see it. I can see he is respecting his God, y'all are respecting us. Y'all are stooges of us, y'all are not slaves of Allah. This man you can see is a man of God. He went and greeted him. Somebody asked him one day, Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayh, on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is to ask you what you brought and came, what jawab, what answer you will give. So Khaja Sahib rahmatullah Ali said, I'll hold my beard and I'll say to Allah, Ya Allah, I brought the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and came. I brought this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and came. Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq, inshallah. So these are the first two things, sunnahs, which was mentioned by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, to remove the mustache, to keep the beard. The third and the fourth sunnah which is mentioned is, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, which was the sunnah of all Anbiya alayhim salam, is to gargle the mouth and to put water into the nose. Al-madhmadha wal-istinshaq. To gargle the mouth and to put water and clean the nose. Again, here, it's a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of wudu, this is a sunnah. When a person is making wudu, every time he makes wudu, he'll gargle his mouth, he'll clean his nose. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of wuzu. In ghusl, this is faraz. In ghusl, it is faraz to gargle the mouth and to put water into the nostrils. Here too, we look at it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us so beautiful, the detailed aspects of taharat, personal hygiene, cleanliness is being taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you're making wudu and you're gargling your mouth, the first two times you'll gargle your mouth, the third time, you'll put your head back and you'll make ghargara, like that, and you'll gargle it so that whatever dirt is remaining at the bottom of the throat, that is also cleaned out. Now look at the beautiful detail in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about gargling the mouth, cleaning ourselves. It's so beautiful, every aspect is so excellent, explained by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 2 years ago we were gone in Jamaat to Cape Town, so in the Shab Guzari, Maulana Muhammad Jina Sahab from Kimberley was giving the bayan. Maulana Muhammad Jina Sahab from Kimberley, Damat Barakatum, he was giving the bayan and he was explaining that one masjid, during the COVID period, one masjid he went to, he saw on the door of the masjid, they got 8 steps for washing hands. 8 steps for washing hands. So he'll wash it this way, then this way, then this way, scrub it this way. So Balanasi was reading that thing on the masjid board, 8 steps for washing the hands. Then Balanasi, I thought to myself for a moment, I said, do you have to teach a Muslim about washing his hands? A Muslim, do you have to teach him about washing his hands? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you wash your hands. When you're making wudu, before you start your wudu, 3 times you're washing your hands. 3 times you're washing your hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us when you go to the toilet, you come out of the toilet, the first thing you do is you wash your hands. A kafir hasn't even learned this as yet, that he needs to wash his hands when he comes out of the toilet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us about washing hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, before eating, wash your hands, don't wipe it. After eating, wash your hands, wipe it. Look at the detail here in this explanation of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you're eating, wash your hands, don't wipe it. After eating, wash your hands, wipe it. So beautiful, every aspect that a person needs to learn about personal hygiene, about cleanliness, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching it to us. So rich our Islam is, so rich our deen is, that every aspect of our life is taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here in this, the third and the fourth point, al-istinshaq wal-madhmadha, to gargle the mouth and to put water into the nose, to clean the nose. These are the third and the fourth sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. The fifth sunnat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains is the usage of the miswak. The usage of the miswak. This was also the practice of all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam of the past. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, As-siwaku mitharatun lil-fami maradatun lil-rabbi. This miswak is such a thing, it cleans your mouth and it makes your Rabb happy. A person wants to make Allah happy. Every Muslim wants to please Allah. Every Muslim wants to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. A very easy method for us to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is to use the miswak. Using the miswak will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. So beautiful it is. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Jibreel alayhi salam, he came and he was insisting on me, use the miswak. So much so that I thought very soon this thing is going to become faraz on my ummah. This thing is going to become faraz on my ummah. I'm going to have to make this thing faraz on my ummah. But it is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any Muslim who at the time of wuzu uses a miswak and reads his salah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will multiply the reward of his salah by 70. Allah ta'ala will multiply the reward of his salah by 70 as compared to that person who made wuzu and never used a miswak. Now so much so the reward, look at it, one reward, 70 rewards. You can imagine end of the month, we went to the boss and he's giving us our wage packets and he brings 2 packets in his hands. One is 1,000 rand, one is 70,000 rand. And he's saying, you can choose which one of the two you want to take. We'll grab the 70,000 rand. Why? Because we know the value of rands and cents. We know there's so much of value in this. We're not going to take the 1,000 rand. We're not happy with that. We're happy with the 70,000 rand. Because we know the value of rands and cents. Wallah, if we knew the value of sawab and reward, not one wuzu we'll ever make without using the miswak. Not one wuzu we'll make without using the miswak. If you know what's the value of sawab and reward. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the sawab of your namaz is multiplied 70 times more. That is why every Muslim should try and keep 2 miswaks with him. 1 miswak in his pocket with him wherever he's going. So if it's a time of namaz, he can immediately take out his miswak, make wuzu and come into the masjid and read his salah. And 1 miswak should remain at home at the place where he makes wuzu. So he's got the miswak readily available. He can make his miswak. The sawab is just increasing and increasing and increasing. And we should remember that miswak is a sunnah not only for the men. It's sunnah for the men also. It's sunnah for the women also. It's sunnah for the children also. We should all try and see how we can practice on this great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says the very last amal, the very last amal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he passed away was the using of the miswak. She says that he was in marazul maut, about to pass away. And he asked her, Aisha, get for me one miswak. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I managed to get one miswak from my brother Abdurrahman. He gave me his miswak. She says, I softened it with my teeth and I gave it to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made miswak and very shortly after that he passed away. So this was about the last amal that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made before he passed away. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, before sleeping, he'll make miswak. When he wakes up in the morning, he's making miswak. At the time of wuzu, he'll make miswak. Even before entering the house, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would first make miswak and then enter the house. And this is all ta'lim for us. This is all ta'lim for us, that oral hygiene, how important it is for us to keep our mouths clean, our mouths fresh. Before entering the house, now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making miswak, so that when he comes to his family, his mubarak mouth is clean. We can never ever imagine that the mubarak mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ever have a stench or any kind of an odor. There would only be a fragrance coming out of the mubarak mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But ta'liman lil ummah, for us, to teach us that before you go home, cleanse your mouth and go inside. So a person goes with a fresh breath into the house. Sometimes you'll find when you're having marital problems, and the cases sometimes come to the Jamiat office, then one of the complaints you'll find sometimes the women folk are writing this, tell the man he must get his breath sorted out. Tell him to get his breath sorted out. You see, half the time his mouth is smelling. So this is now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, make miswak before you enter the house. So beautiful all these teachings of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with us. Allah give us to Hazrat Maulana Jamshed sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, was one of the senior akabir of Raiwin Markaz. Hazrat Maulana Jamshed sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, Maulana says, Maulana had qualified in Jalalabad by Hazrat Maulana Masihullah sahab, rahmatullah alayhi. And he says, one day I was sitting in a masjid and I was making mutala of my kitabs. I was studying the kitabs, and while studying, he says there was one jamaat from Mewat that was there in a masjid. And he says there was one Mewati brother, 1 hour before Asar Namaz, this Mewati brother is walking up and down the masjid. He's going outside, he's coming inside, he's going upstairs, he's going downstairs. I thought, by the something, maybe he lost his wallet or his passport or something. Why is he so pareshan? 1 hour before Asar Namaz, see, I went to ask him, Haji Sahib, okay, you need anything? He said, I can't find my miswak. I'm worried. 1 hour left for Asar. How am I going to read my Asar Namaz without making miswak? Look, he said, that was the day I realized that this work of Dawat and Tabligh is the thing that's going to bring us close to the Sunnah. He said, this is what drew me to the work of Dawat and Tabligh, is this one brother, the importance of making amal, and alhamdulillah, miswak so easily available. So the idea said, we all can go buy our miswaks, get our miswaks, keep 2-3 miswaks at home. So we lose one, we got another one ready, and we're always using the miswak, inshallah. So this is the fifth sunnah that is mentioned in this hadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sixth sunnah that is mentioned is qalmul azfar, to trim the nails, the fingernails, toenails. A person is trimming his nails, he's not keeping long, dirty nails. So this is also a sunnah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us on a Friday before the Jummah namaz, before the Jummah salah, any time from Thursday night till before the Jummah salah, it is sunnah for a person to trim his nails, fingernails, toenails. Now it's become a fashion in women, they all want to keep long, long nails. This is wrong. To keep a person's nails for more than 40 days without trimming it is guna and sin. A person becomes sinful for keeping long, long nails. So this is something we should keep in mind. And also this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that when a person trims his nails, he shouldn't take it, throw it in a bin, or he mustn't take it and flush it down the toilet, but rather he should bury it into the ground because it's part of his body. So whether it's his hair or whether it's his nails, then it should be buried in the ground. Ulama Kiram teach us sometimes a person is such that he's living in a flat, maybe there's no place for him to bury it over there. You should have one container at home. Everybody knows this is a container. You put all the nails, hair in it. Every now and then you get a chance, it's buried into the ground. We're making amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's number 6. Number 7 and number 8. Halqul ana, to a person to remove the hair from under the arms and around the private areas. Here too also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us once a week, once in 2 weeks, a person should remove the hair. Shouldn't be keeping long, long hair under his arms around his private areas. Sometimes a person, if he allows 40 days to pass and that hair isn't trimmed, again he'll be gunahgar, he'll be sinful for this. So here a Muslim, he's taught about cleanliness, about taharat, about hygiene, that that hair, etc. is removed. Sometimes, unfortunately, you find when you're making ghusl of a janaza, you find that sometimes Muslim brothers are not concerned about removing the hair from under the arms, etc. There's long, long hair that is there. So that all must be taught, it must be removed, etc. It shouldn't be kept for more than 40 days. As a result, a person will become gunihgar, a person will become sinful. That's number eight. Number nine, the nine sunnah that is mentioned in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ghuslul barajim, that a person takes ghusl, a person has a bath, and he washes his body. So his body, there's no odor that's emanating from his body. And here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to teach the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhu that on a Friday, originally in the initial days of Islam, it was faraz for a person to bath on a Friday. After that, it became sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach the Sahaba kiram, you're coming into the masjid on a Friday, before you come, have a bath. And come. Make sure you have a bath. Sometimes there's a lot of people in a masjid. Masjid al-Nabawi ala sahibi as-salatu wa taslim was a simple structure with a low roof. So there are many people gathered inside. Nice if everybody baths and comes so that there's no odor in the masjid. There's no smell in the masjid. And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stress on the path, ghuslul barajim, the sweaty areas, make sure it's washed properly under the arms, around the private areas, etc. That is washed properly, thoroughly, so a person's body is clean and there's no odor emanating. And the last point what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is intiqasul ma, what we understand in our terminology as istinja, that the person when he goes to the toilet, he washes himself. With regards to the people of Quba, Allah ta'ala praises them in the Quran Kareem that these were people who were very particular about the istinja. They will make istinja with earth also, clods of earth, and they will make istinja with water also. Allah was very happy with these people. Ulama say, we too can make amal on this. Maybe we can't use clods of earth in the toilet, but toilet paper and water we both can use. We can use both and make a double fold istinja with this niyat of earning the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Students who are going to public schools, children who are going to public schools, and there's no facility for water in the toilets, they should make arrangements of taking a bottle with them and going in the toilet so that istinja is made. It mustn't be that now, what they'll tell us, we're going to go in the toilet with a bottle of water, drinking water in the toilet or something. We don't have to feel apologetic. We don't have to feel small that what I must take this bottle of water and go in the toilet for. I'm making istinja, it is a sunnat of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. These are the 10 sunnats of all the Anbiya alayhimus salam of the past. If we make amal on this, inshallah, Allah will give us the sawab and the reward of making amal of the sunnats of all the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq.